And joining us now, Robert Martinage, Senior Defense Analyst at the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments, a defense expert. So you must have some clue, Mr. Martinage, about what the planes are doing flying off the aircraft carriers in the Gulf. What are they doing? Surveillance of the neighborhood, in effect?
Well, that's part of it. Of course, they're continuing to enforce the northern and southern no-fly zones, and as part of that, going after Iraqi air defense sites, air defense radars, missile launchers, and other targets of concern. Beyond that, just exercising, getting used to the terrain, the area around there, so that if and when war comes, they're better prepared.
Are they also, in effect, trying to confuse the Iraqis in some sense? The more you do it, the more you get used to it, and the more the Iraqis will see in their radar screens what's going on, so that if there is a first strike, if I underscore, they might not know when and how it will be coming?
That's part of it. What also is going on is called intelligence preparation of the battlefield. And we're trying to light up the different radar and other sensor systems and get an idea of what frequencies they operate on so that later on we can jam those radars more effectively.
You're an expert, too, in high technology. So tell our viewers how the U.S. military is using high technology these days and how that compares to the Gulf War over a decade ago.
Well, one example would be in the Gulf War. Only three aircraft could carry so-called precision-guided munitions, three different types of aircraft. Now, with a few exceptions, every type of aircraft in the U.S. inventory can drop these PGMs. So in the first Gulf War, about 8 or 9% of the ordnance dropped in Iraq was precision-guided. In this upcoming war, we're likely to see 80%, maybe even greater, of the ordnance be precision-guided.
Let's talk for a moment about weather, which is also very key. We're not going to be going to war if there should be one today or tomorrow. There is more diplomacy at hand, and there is talk among the military community that the longer this takes, the hotter it will get out there. What does this mean for troops?
I think certainly we'd prefer not to be fighting in the heat of summer if we can avoid it. But I think a few weeks isn't really going to matter, and it will make things maybe a little bit more difficult, but not tremendously so. I think our forces will do fine, you know, having another couple of weeks to prepare and rehearse and exercise with their equipment in the field.
And the conditions, too, the sandstorms. We talked about this on the program the other day, how tough these sandstorms are and how the sand just gets everywhere. Is that something that the troops have to deal with?
Sure it is, but that affects both sides, and the U.S. is much better positioned than the Iraqi military to deal with sandstorms or fighting at night. We have GPS receivers throughout our force that allow us to maneuver in sand during the night, during bad weather conditions, and we can also operate at night much more effectively than the Iraqi military. So, yes, sandstorms are bad, but they affect both sides.
What might you expect from the Iraqi military at this stage of the game?
At this stage of the game, it's hard to say. I think what people worry about is once Iraq really believes, or Saddam Hussein believes, that war is coming, what kinds of dirty tricks might the Iraqi military do? For instance, lighting oil fields on fire, blowing up some dams, attacking U.S. troops in forward positions with chemical weapons, and so on. Those are kind of on Rumsfeld's list of things that could go wrong that we worry about.
And something the troops are preparing for, you would presume?
Yes, absolutely. We're preparing to move rapidly on the oil fields to seize control of them as quickly as we can. We're trying to, through psychological operations, convince military commanders and troops on the ground in Iraq not to use chemical weapons because they'll be held accountable during the war or after the war. And, of course, our troops are rehearsing with protective gear against chemical and biological weapons.
Yeah, it's tough duty out there for them, certainly. Robert Martinage, Senior Defense Analyst at the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments. Mr. Martinage, thanks so much for your insight.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.